Thanks for joining us on The Exchange today. We've gotten really good in our political culture at putting other people in boxes. You know, those radical or reactionary or just plain annoying people on the other side. But what box would you put yourself in? The recently released typology study out of the Oregon Values and Beliefs Center put Oregon voters into eight boxes, ranging from party-aligned progressives on the left to modern conservative loyalists on the right. Let's hear more about the divisions between Oregonians and the places they overlap. Amori Vogel is the executive director of the Oregon Values and Belief Center and our guest on The Exchange once again. Amori, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. Now, we don't take you up on all of your survey offerings at OVBC because there are many, but how often are you surveying Oregonians about values and beliefs?
Well, we are very fortunate in that we get a huge amount of engagement. So initially, we started out doing surveys every single month, but we were getting so much engagement from our panelists that participate in our surveys and from members of the community and community leaders and elected officials in wanting to know more about the research that we've backed it off to about every other month to sort of once a quarter.
Okay, so a little less regular than it once was. Now, the typology study is a bit different from some of the others. Explain the goals and the differences and how you went about the work.
Yeah, this was sort of a special project for us and that we did just within our organization with a lot of help from community partners and other people that saw the value in doing a study like this. It follows the track of the 1992, 2002, and 2013 Oregon Values and Beliefs studies, and also some research that was done by Pew Research Center, which is a national opinion research organization, and Policy Interactive replicated that research in Oregon. And what it does is ask some values-based questions. So rather than, like, what do you think of this thing that's happening right now, what do you think about the values that underlie those choices and which direction we go? And people have a really difficult choice in choosing between opposite ends of the spectrum. And sometimes it's really difficult for people. But we use all those answers to do what's called cluster analysis and sort people into categories based on how strongly a question pushes them in a specific direction. And then each cluster consists of people that look more like each other in their values and their shared values rather than any other group.
All right. And we ended up with, I'll give them right now. We'll go through this again later. The mm-hmm. cluster one, party aligned progressives, two, dispassionate liberals, three, alienated young left, four, green rural independents, five, diverse and devout, six, disengaged traditional conservatives, seven, free market libertarians, and eight, modern conservative loyalists. So quite a while to put this together. And so mm-hmm. those are the clusters, but give some broad mm-hmm. brushstrokes first, if you would, Amori. What are some of the major points mm-hmm. you found?
Yeah, I know that those names probably don't make everybody happy. I have to tell you, it's really hard to name these groups because they're very nuanced and interesting. But what we found that was especially interesting is that 91% of, the party-aligned progressives and 95% of the modern conservative loyalists think that we have a politically divided state, socially and politically divided state. But people in the middle are more around like 60%. And that's something that we see a lot in our research is that there's a perception from the far ends of the spectrum that things are really divided. And there's a really big middle that doesn't have a lot of space in the conversation. So it's interesting to see that come out in these clusters. We really do have a lot of agreement on a lot of stuff in Oregon, but we spend so much time focusing on controversy and pitting interests against one another that it can get in the way of getting things done.
We're talking to Amori Vogel, the executive director of the Oregon Values and Belief Center, about the typology study recently released, which shows Oregonians in eight political clusters and Obviously, some people may feel like they're not part of that group, but they're part of the other group. Anyway, you get the idea. Mm-hmm. We're talking about where Oregonians come down on things and how they see other people as well. You can join us with comments and questions by email to jx@jeffnet.org. Amari, that point you made about the middle is really not in the conversation. I mean, we've gotten to a point in history when the larger, more inflammatory issues really are the ones that get most of the attention, even though they may not be the ones that affect most people, like potholes and roads and stuff like that.
Yeah, that is really a problem that we see a lot. And, you know, there are a lot of factors, not to pick on the media, but as our media landscape is facing increasing challenges, getting people's attention is more and more difficult. And so if there's incentive to prioritize these controversies, which helps inflate that feeling of divisiveness. But that's not the only way that this shows up. I mean, you see it in public meetings, school board meetings, all kinds of stuff. People that have stronger feelings tend to be louder, and that's perceived to be a majority. But that's not really how a majority feels. But it's hard to sort of yell out at a school board meeting about, I think this is a complex issue and there's a reasonable answer in the middle. That doesn't really have a good ring to it, and it doesn't get people fired up. And so the people in the middle are just sort of left feeling like they're not represented. And then that has also a cyclical effect of disengaging from their community, voting less. We're seeing lower rates of volunteerism because they also don't want to be sucked into this controversy either.
Interesting. So they think even by participating in politics, they might end up getting in a place where they become part of the people that they don't particularly care to associate with?
Well, not so much part of the people that they don't want to associate with, more like attacked by one side or even both sides. I mean, the reality is if you're in the middle, you're actually vulnerable from both ends of the spectrum. So it makes it a lot less appealing, especially when people want to bring up these controversies, even when that's not something that we're talking about or dealing with at the time.
And so as you look at these clusters, again, party-aligned progressives, mm-hmm. dispassionate liberals, alienated young left, green rural independents, diverse and devout, disengaged traditional conservatives, free market libertarians, and finally modern conservative loyalists, did people get to self-identify, or was that all clustered analysis done after the surveys?
It was all done statistically after the surveys. So I actually don't even know technically which group I fall in. Huh. People didn't get to choose. It was how they chose to answer these different values-based questions. And what happens is we run a whole bunch of different versions of sorting statistically. We run, you know, different sets of questions. We run different numbers of clusters until we find one that has like the most statistical power. The easiest way that I've found to understand it is it's sort of like sorting socks by color. They're in piles that are more similar in color than socks in other piles. A green sock might have some other colors mixed in, just like someone in a cluster might not agree with everything else in that's typical of that cluster. Overall, though, their traits are most similar to the group that they're placed in. But we didn't do this by, like, geography or your demographic characteristics. It's purely by how you answered these values-based questions.
We're talking to Amari Vogel, the executive director of the Oregon Values and Beliefs Center, about the recently released typology study that cut Oregonians up into 8 clusters on the political spectrum from left to right. You can join us with your comments and questions by email to jx@jeffnet.org. So basically you gave them statements and then they had to agree, strongly disagree. I mean, because I see the liberal statement, for example, mm-hmm. on the first one, government often does a better job than people give it credit for on the left. On the right, its government is almost always wasteful and inefficient. Did people have to align themselves with agree or strongly disagree or something along that spectrum?
Yeah, so we paired each of those statements. So you can either choose one of those two statements. And we did let people lean in one direction because, honestly, it is just too hard if you have to just flat out agree, fully agree with every single one of these statements. Some of them are very complicated. The statements aren't complicated, but people have complicated feelings about them. But yeah, that government often does a better job than people give it credit for. So that's on one side. So we'll give that a one. And then, or I'm sorry, we'll give that a two. And then a lean would be giving it a one. And then a government is almost always wasteful and inefficient. That could be a negative one. And if you're leaning that direction, and then if you feel strongly, it's a negative two. And so we sort of sort people on a spectrum of how strongly they feel about a particular issue. And some of these do tend to be more like one side is more aligned with the conservative ideology and one is more aligned with the liberal ideology. But we also see that some of that is shifting as well. A lot of these statements are benchmarked from Pew and they're statements that they identified as being like liberal or conservative leaning. But there are some statements where the most liberal group answers more conservatively than some of the other more middle of the road groups.
Well, and there are some that divide up clearly. I mean, you do provide some color coding here, like, for example, our country needs to continue making changes to give black people equal rights with white people. That's strongly blue on one end. And on the other end, our country has made the changes needed to give black people equal rights with white people. That's strongly red on that end. But then right underneath that is a question about the economic system in this country unfairly favoring powerful interests. And that's almost all shades of blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, people read a lot. I'm glad you brought up that particular question about our country needing to make additional changes. People read a lot into that. That isn't necessarily what the question is saying. There are people in this that answer more conservatively on this that are mostly opposed to government regulation of social issues. So I'm glad you brought it up because I do want to like caution people from making assumptions about that particular statement. But that is one of the most polarizing statements in the whole survey.
Yes, I can see that by the numbers, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's another one where, you know, you have somebody that, a group that tends to lean more liberal answered more conservatively, and a group that tends to lean more conservative answered more liberally. So we're in Oregon, we don't follow all the lines all the time, and that's what makes us great.
I do notice, though, when you're looking for a red-blue split about what you'd think, the combat-style firearm should be illegal to buy or own by the general public is a strong agreement on the left with that. On the right, the U.S. Constitution protects gun ownership regardless of the type of firearm. It's strongly red on the right there, and with some different shades in the middle, but that divides up. That's one of those ones where people do divide up as they've been portrayed.
Yes, except for if you look at the cluster four, which is the Green Rural Independents, they are a 2.3. So they're actually more conservative than the second most overall conservative group on this particular question.
On this question, yes. Which is one of the indications that you got from the typology study is that it's not, I mean, even when you pick eight clusters, you probably could have picked 16 and you'd still find places where people strayed outside of their groups.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not exactly straying outside of their groups. It's more like straying outside of this linear spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, honestly, I wish there was a better way to display this so that it didn't look so linear because cluster one and cluster eight, those work great as the ends of the spectrum, but two through seven fall kind of all over the place. They're a mishmash. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that, you know, cluster four is breaking from the group, that's just who they are. And it's just that overall their average falls as the fourth most liberal group. Even if they're more conservative on this question,
we've got about 20 seconds left. What do we do with this? What do we do with the typology study? How do we take this?
Well, I would really hope that this helps remind people, especially as we go into complicated elections in our state and in our local communities and at the national level, that it's not as easy as red and blue, and we have a lot in common, and not to assume that we know just because of, we think we know somebody's party registration, what their values are. Right. We have a lot that we can build on.
Well, you can spend days reading it. The Oregon Values and Belief Center, Amari Vogel's the executive director. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.